Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this edition of News in Focus is your host, Chris Long.
And welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. Well, today is Super Tuesday, and there's a lot of states that are casting their ballots in the primary presidential election. They're voting for different primary challenges across the country. Our primary here in Ohio is on March 19th, 2 weeks from today. So want you to be able to be informed on the issues and the candidates. And you can do that by visiting the Ohio Christian Alliance website. That's ohioca.org. And we have some really helpful election tools for you for education. We don't endorse candidates, but we provide plenty of information for you to make and cast an informed decision on the March 19th primary. And we do encourage you to get out and vote on March 19th. The Ohio Christian Alliance voter guide is there. You'll also see a feature, a quick click, that will take you to the Secretary of State's website that will give you a sample ballot. It's always helpful to be able to review your ballot before you vote. Just click on that orange link and then click on your county, put in your name, and your ballot should come up for your review, and then you can see what's going to be on your ballot. Also, we have a couple of interviews there with the U.S. Senate candidates of Bernie Moreno and Frank LaRose from a few weeks ago. Also, the 13th Congressional District. That's the congressional district, Kevin Coughlin and Chris Banwig facing off in that highly contested race. All this is happening on March 19th. Decision then as to who represents the Republican and or Democratic side come November. And so all that information's on our website, again, at ohioca.org. Well, we're going to talk about a very important issue. In fact, we have it in our voter guide. In fact, we asked the candidates, capital punishment for certain crimes such as first-degree murder, support or oppose or undecided. And I have to tell you, the candidates that filled out the survey, both Republican and Democrat, resoundingly support the death penalty. Question is, how do we proceed with the death penalty in this state since the time of the DeWine administration? It's all but been suspended. Governor DeWine has put question marks in his administration over the method of carrying out capital punishment in this state for those who have committed the most heinous crimes and have been convicted in a court of law and are waiting on death row. In fact, if you go over the last four administrations, going back to Governor Taft, Governor Strickland, Governor Kasich, and the current administration, the most executions that took place were during the Democrat Strickland administration. I think only one or two has actually been carried out during DeWine's 6 years. He's now in his sixth year. So there is legislators that are moving forward because this is not just an Ohio problem, but other places around the country. Those who oppose the death penalty have filed lawsuits and complaints and have put injunctions on the procedures of states to carry out the death penalty. But in Alabama, they're leading the way. And our guest on the phone joined in a press conference just in the last 10 days with legislators in the Ohio House who have come up with a very workable plan going forward so that if we're going to have a death penalty, we need to actually carry it out. And with me on the phone is our state attorney general, Dave Yost. Mr. Attorney General, glad to have you on the program today.
Well, it's good to be with you, Chris. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on, and thank you for your position on this issue. And you're on the record. If we're going to have a death penalty, then we need to actually follow through with the justice of law. Tell me what your thoughts are about what Alabama has done and how that could actually help us here in Ohio.
So there's a lot of misinformation around this, which isn't surprising, and anything in the right-left divide. But Alabama became the first state in the union to use this technique. And it's basically using nitrogen, which is not a poisonous gas. It's in the air that you're breathing right now. In fact, there's more nitrogen in the air than there is oxygen. What the nitrogen does is it replaces the oxygen, and you will lose consciousness and eventually pass because of that. Now, there's been some discussion about how this fella in Alabama was writhing and gasping on the table, on the gurney, as the procedure was carried out. But he was a killer. He had told everybody he didn't want to die at all. He didn't want to die by nitrogen inhalation. And so he was strapped down. He didn't go willingly, which isn't surprising. And he wrestled against his restraints. But here's the much better evidence, because the people on the left were saying, oh, he was in pain and agony, and look at him writhing around and gasping. And the physician wasn't having any of that, that was observing it. But here's the most important thing to know. In Europe, we're talking about oh-so-civilized Europe, woke, progressive Europe. They use this for assisted suicide. The attendant will administer, you go into a room, an airtight room, and they will flood it with nitrogen, and you'll go to sleep. Now, either this is like horrible, asphyxiation, which is how the left is trying to portray it, and Europe is using this voluntarily for people who are voluntarily committing suicide, or in fact, it actually is as advertised, and it's an effective and essentially painless way to go.
That's right. We're talking about nitrogen hypoxia is an alternative method for carrying out capital punishment that has been available by legislatures in other states, said State Representative Brian Stewart, who was with you in the press conference. In federal court proceedings, even defense counsels have conceded that an offender executed by nitrogen hypoxia would be quickly, painlessly, and humanely rendered unconscious, followed rapidly by death. There can't be really any objection to this new method. That's been the question here with those who oppose what has been happening as far as the different forms of execution. But we're really talking about carrying out the justice. These are people that have taken innocent life in the most heinous type ways. They've gone through the justice system, and without any doubt, they have been convicted, and the death penalty has been sentenced, and then they sit on death row for appeal after appeal, and we're talking years, in some cases decades. The Ohio public is very frustrated with this when justice is denied, and when it's delayed, it is denied, and there are victims, survivors who are waiting for justice. And I'm going to say from this, from the standpoint of the Ohio Christian Alliance, we stand resolute in support of the death penalty. In fact, from Leviticus 24:17, and I'm reading through the Old Testament right now, and I'm going to have a New Testament verse as well, but let me read the Old Testament. Leviticus 24:17, and he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. The Bible is very clear on this, on capital punishment. In Romans chapter 13, verse 4, it reads, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And it's talking about the magistrate in this case in the book of Romans. So both Old and New Testament, people ask me, well, what's your position? That is my position. It's a biblical position. And there has to be a fear of the justice and the judgment of civil society, a Judean Christian ethic. Which is, by the way, worldwide, and that innocent life is to be protected. And when you talk to people and say, well, I don't believe in the death penalty, well, they say that when they haven't actually faced the situation of a criminal act that has taken precious life from them. And so, David, I say the good news here is because I know there's always every couple of years, the liberal media in Columbus says, oh, there's an effort to do away with death. I'm telling you, it's overwhelming Democrat and Republicans filling out our survey that support the death penalty. Nobody really rejoices about the death penalty. It's one of those necessary processes of judgment and justice that has to be carried out. Nobody rejoices in it. But the fact of the matter is, it has to be upheld and it has to be, carried out. And when you have this suspension under the DeWine administration, quite honestly, I'm trying to be kind here. The governor has been disingenuous in sense, because I think he personally opposes the death penalty. He doesn't want that known. And to do this by way of process is not really right for Ohioans. You're not being truthful with the general public. And so now he's not going to be able to hide, because this thing's going to be out in the front. Legislature is going to move forward. We're going to have this debate again, it looks like. And the fact of the matter is, I will be very resolute with a coalition of groups that's saying this is a way forward that I think is very positive, that we need to give law enforcement the ability to carry out their duty.
Well, I appreciate your leadership, Chris. You talk about fulfilling the promise. The families that I've sat with and talked with, including the case that I handled myself, they all expected that justice would eventually be done. They understood that there was a necessary set of appeals, that it was going to take time, but we promised as a society and as a prosecutor, I promised them as the representative of the society that we would seek justice. And if a jury agreed with our case, that one day justice would be done. We have an unkept promise to those families of the 123 people who are convicted worst of the worst on death row. And it's time that we either lived up, if I can say this in this day and age, manned up to the commitment, or we tell them that we don't have the stomach for it, and tell them why we think it's wrong and we made the wrong commitment, and ask them to release us from the commitment. But we need to at least have the courage to own our convictions. This thing where we theoretically have the death penalty for the worst of the worst, but never carry it out, is the worst of all possible worlds. And I'm challenging the legislature to deal with this. They've got an abolition bill in front of them to get rid of the death penalty. They also have a bill to make it work again, technically, with the nitrogen bill. They need to do one or the other, not to allow this this stalemate to go on. One other thing, you mentioned something that I think is so important for people to understand, Chris. Nobody rejoices in the taking of even a guilty life. It's a sober thing. And to all the people that sneer out there and you use words like bloodthirsty, I have something to say to them. I stood in front of 12 jurors and two alternates in the Delaware County Common Pleas Court. And I explained to them, standing 10 feet away from the defendant, I explained to them what he had done and why we thought that it was a crime. And I looked into their eyes and I asked them, if you agree with me, I need you to follow your duty and impose the sentence to kill that man. And I pointed at him. That was one of the most difficult things I've ever done in my life. This isn't some TV blow it up. It's not a first-person shooter video game where you get an infinite reset button. This is serious stuff. And it's not about bloodthirst. It's about something really simple. It's called justice.
Well, that's right. And I'm reading here in this article reporting, and this may have been actually your quote, capital punishment has been recognized by the state of Ohio since 1803. It is now time for the authorization of other methods for carrying out capital punishment in addition to lethal injections. Oh, this was Mr. Plummer stated. But using nitrogen hypoxia, we are giving the system an additional resource for holding accountable those who have committed heinous crimes. Claims of a lack of access to lethal injections by Ohio's execution branch will no longer be the case. It is time that we stop postponing executions and give the families and victims the closure that they deserve. I agree with Mr. Plummer. I agree with Representative Stewart. I agree with you, Attorney General. It is time to move forward. So let me ask you, in what is the holdup currently with the carrying out of these executions of those on death row? What is the holdup? Is it the governor's office? Is it the administration or this bureaucratic office that oversees the carrying out of
It's the availability of the drugs. So Ohio law currently says the only thing you can do is a lethal injection. And the companies that use those drugs or manufacture those drugs manufacture other things as well. And they say, we won't sell these things to you. And beyond that, if we sell them to you and you use them for purposes that we don't approve, in other words, if you use them for capital punishment, we're not going to sell any of our drugs to you. We're going to blacklist you. Now, nobody knows for sure whether they would follow up on that threat. I think that they would be, potentially open to a lawsuit, particularly if they did that all together and made it so that the state wasn't able to obtain these things from anywhere. But I really doubt that they're going to do that. Ohio buys a lot of drugs. We spend billions on through Medicaid and through other programs, VWC, and within our the DRC as well. I don't think that that's true. But I'm not going to blame Governor DeWine for not wanting to roll the dice on that. And so here's the solution. Here's a workable way to do it. And you'll face up to the question. Yes or no? Are we going to have capital punishment? If the answer is no, at least own it. Get out there and explain why. I think we should continue to have capital punishment. And I'll be joining you, Chris, in this public debate to say that we need to. I'd love if we have a minute to explain why I think that's the case.
Well, we do. And share with us your thoughts on the death penalty and why it needs to continue.
So I'd like you to consider an individual who has committed one of these worst of the worst kinds of murders, but they do it in a state where there is no death penalty. So they have life without parole, and that's what the liberals want us to believe is the solution for everything. Just lock them up, keep them away from us forever, but don't kill them. And so a lot of people are going, well, that makes a lot of sense. And in fact, since life without parole, or LWOP as prosecutors call it, it became available, that is the majority of the aggravated murder verdicts. The number of death penalty cases has gone down. And I don't have a problem with that. Those are decisions made about the individual fact. But let's go back to our hypothetical prisoner sitting in on death row, and he decides he's got nothing to lose. And so he takes a cook or a social worker or a guard, and he cuts their throat with malice aforethought, cold blood. That prison worker has a spouse, kids, maybe grandkids, and now they're gone. What is the penalty for that guy? Are we going to give him double super secret life without parole? You've already gone as far as you're allowed to go, and yet he gets to go further. What do we do in a situation like that? Well, there's only one option. At least in that situation, you have to have capital punishment, or you're declaring open season on other people in the prison, whether they be prisoners themselves or, you know, prison staff. And in fact, we have seen in other states that have abolished the death penalty, cases like this arrive. So logically, you're in a corner. You have to have capital punishment, at least for that guy. And once you've said, well, we're going to have some capital punishment, now we're arguing about what we're going to have capital punishment for. And I'm happy to have that debate. Maybe we need to have more. Maybe we need to have less. Personally, I think I wouldn't have a real problem with using the death penalty on sexual rape of children, you know, where there was no residual doubt that they had actually done the thing. You know, that's so heinous. But maybe we have too many things and we want to whittle it down. Great, let's have that debate. But don't tell me with a straight face that we don't need to have capital punishment, because at least for that situation where somebody is already guilty and serving life without parole, we need a further sanction.
We're talking with State Attorney General Dave Yost. We're talking about Ohio's capital punishment, the death penalty, and a new method that Alabama, the state of Alabama, just executed last month. And they've, in fact, their state attorney general said, other states, reach out to me, because we have found a method that works very well, nitrogen hypoxia. And so, David, I think this is the way forward. We don't have to worry about a drug company banning us. If we're going to use lethal injection, we'll have the method that we need to be able to carry out and fulfill the promises that we made to the victims, survivors of these heinous crimes in the state of Ohio. And in my opinion, uphold justice. In fact, as you and I both know, crime rates are off the charts right now in our big cities. The unpolicing of just crime gone wild has made a lot of people fearful. I get out and talk to community groups all across the state, and I ask for people a show of hands of how many have actually just been fearful of what's happening in our world today. I mean, 2/3 of the hands of the go up in the room. I've never seen anything like that. And so that's because we see crime rates skyrocketing, and we talk to law enforcement. You talk to them every day, of course, as Attorney General. That's why there has to be a deterrent. And when you don't have one, it's been suspended. We've got a real problem in the state, and I appreciate your leadership on this, and a coalition of groups will be supporting the death penalty and this new method to carry out justice in Ohio, so that we can basically protect the innocent and penalize the guilty for what they've done.
Well, I appreciate that. This is ripe for the debate we're about to have, and Chris, I want to mention to you that on April 1st every year, the state Ohio state law requires me to publish a report, an annual report on the state of the death penalty in Ohio. So you'll want to mark your calendar on that. We will be releasing that again. Not to anyone's surprise, we will have more people staying longer time on death row.
Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Attorney General, we're just running out of time here, but I'm going to tell you, we're going to resend that report out to our membership. We'll be looking for that on April 1st. Thank you so much for being my guest today. And if people want to follow the fine work of the Attorney General's office, what's the website again?
Just Google Ohio Attorney General and you'll see it right at the top of your results.
And thank you for all the fine work that you do, and we'll stand shoulder to shoulder with you on this issue. Thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thank you, Chris. God bless.
God bless you, my friend, and we pray for you and your service for our great state. Well, we've run out of time, but thanks for listening. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
This is Chris Long, host of News in Focus, announcing my new book, For Their Honor, How the D-Day Prayer Was Added to the World War II Memorial. This book tells the 11-year story of how one of the largest mass prayers in history was added to the World War II memorial. The D-Day prayer was one of FDR's fireside chats, but it stands alone as an incredible moment in American history. The date was June 6, 1944. Operation Overlord, the D-Day invasion of Western France, was already underway by the Allied nations. News reports throughout the day were released from General Eisenhower's headquarters with short statements but with few details on what was happening with the landings and on the beaches of France. The American public anxiously awaited throughout the day to hear from President Roosevelt for more details on the historic invasion. What they heard that evening was a president inviting them to join him in prayer. This book will inspire and encourage your faith. You can order yours today at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
On March 8th and 9th, Bob France returns to the Embassy Suites in Independence as the MC of the nationally acclaimed Bringing America Back to Life convention to introduce such renowned names as Raymond Arroyo, lead anchor for EWTN Television News, David B. Wright, the founder of 40 Days for Life Action that has impacted billions around the world, and Dr. Bill Lyle, whose work with the abortion pill reversal process has saved many babies' lives. This 15th annual convention is presented by the Kurtz Brothers. Join us as we host one of the most significant educational platforms in the nation, designed to equip and engage all those involved in this, the greatest civil rights issue of all times, the right to life. By prayer, action, voting, and education, Cleveland Right to Life is paving the way back to life. Please help us bring America back to life on March 8th and 9th. For ticket information and booth registration, go to bringingamericabacktolife.org or call 440-529-4836. 440-529-4836. Hurry, tickets are limited and are going fast.
The following is a previously aired broadcast.
Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this edition of News in Focus is your host, Chris Long.
And welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. Well, for those of you that were able to make it out to the Ohio Christian Alliance Freedom Banquet last Thursday at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton, we had a great event with the Candidate Forum and with Bill Fetter from the American Minute, and it was a good crowd and just a good engagement, and everybody went away encouraged, and that's what we want in actually fighting for the freedoms in this American Republic. Well, the election is quickly approaching. March 19th is the primary for Ohio. Super Tuesday is March 5th, but Ohio's primary is March 19th. And of course, you'll be voting for president, the U.S. Senate, congressional races, Ohio House, Ohio Senate, and some local races. And of course, this is the primary. This sets the stage for who we will be electing to office in November. And so it's important for you to be aware of who is in the primary race. And we do have several primary challenges in the U.S. Senate. It is Frank LaRose, the current Secretary of State, Bernie Marino, a Cleveland businessman, and Matt Dolan, a state senator, that are facing off against each other in the U.S. Senate race. On the congressional side, in the 13th Congressional District, which is Summit County and part of Stark County, there is a primary on the Republican side as well. Former State Senator Kevin Coughlin facing off against Hudson City Councilman Chris Banwig, and both of them were at the Ohio Christian Alliance Freedom Banquet and part of the took part of the candidate forum. So it's a very informative evening, and there'll be a voter guide on our website so that you can understand where these candidates stand on important issues of life and morality, and that will be on the Ohio Christian Alliance website. Look for that. This weekend is when the voter guide will be available. We have surveyed all the candidates running for office on both the U.S. Senate, Congressional, Ohio House, and Ohio Senate, and those who have responded to the survey, we will publish the results, so at least you'll have some information of where these candidates stand on important issues that are of value to you. Well, we want to talk to you about another event that's coming up here in Northeast Ohio, and it's the Bring America Back to Life Conference, and I think this is their 15th annual, so it's hard to believe it's been 15 years since Cleveland Right to Life, in partnership partnership with other life organizations, have launched this convention. It is coming up March 8th and 9th. That's Friday and Saturday right here in Independence at the Embassy Suites. And it's a great venue. It's a great conference. We've always enjoyed it over the years. And we have the executive director of Cleveland Right to Life, Kate Makra, who's on the phone with us right now to tell us a lot more. Kate, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm sure this is a very busy time for you and the committee as you're getting ready for this great conference. So So tell us a little bit about the Bring America Back to Life conference, why that's so important to Cleveland Right to Life and for the cause of life, and especially after the election losses of last year with the passage of Issue 1. It's great to see that life groups are reengaging and a thrust for education and education among young people when it comes to the life issue. Explain.
Well, absolutely. Hit the nail on the head, Chris. So after the election, of course, there was a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth, and a lot of people on our side were understandably upset. And of course we were, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was a punch to the gut for sure. But there was not a lot of people saying, okay, well, that's it. You know, we're going to take our ball and go home because we lost. No, of course we needed some time to regroup and gather ourselves. But more of the reaction that I got from our people was, what can we do? What do we do next? What happens next? So we just need to sort of marshal our forces. You know, we're like the boxer in the ring that gets knocked down. We go back to our corner, our trainer kind of puts the smelling salts under our nose and, bandages our cuts. And then we go back out into the ring to fight another round. And that's exactly what we're doing. And I'm so glad you mentioned education, because that is one of the cornerstones of what we do at Cleveland Right to Life. Regardless of what happened with Issue 1, we were always planning to continue with education, because it is so vitally important that we get these young people and we get them to understand, especially because of all the incoming that they have with social media and video games and just the degradation of the traditional family. Young people just don't stand a chance these days. So we have to try to counteract some of that with education. And as you mentioned, one of the ways we can do that is with our Bringing America Back to Life convention. And it is our 15th annual convention, and we're very blessed to be able to have a wonderful slate of guests this year. And it has become an annual pilgrimage that people make to Northeast Ohio. And I'm proud to say that many people regard it as the preeminent pro-life event in the country, not just in Ohio, but in the country. Because we have a confluence of scientists, pro-life activists, of doctors, authors, people of the cloth who come and they speak about their various areas of expertise. And the goal is to equip and engage the folks who attend, and not just to sit there and say, okay, well, that was a nice speaker, and then go home and put that away for another day. No, we want to give the folks who come to our convention information that they can then use and go out, and we want to turn them into pro-life activists as well. And so the first step is, of course, education, as you mentioned.
We're talking with Kate with the Northeast Ohio Cleveland Right to Life.
Cleveland Right to Life.
Yeah, that's right. Well, listen, it's so important that the convention itself is a two-day event, and there's actually two dinners, one on Friday night, one on Saturday night. There's also, of course, the breakout sessions throughout the day. Walk us through the convention schedule, starting with Friday.
Okay, sure. I'd be happy to. So the convention begins on Friday, March 8th, and we have a breakfast speaker. And our breakfast speaker on Friday is Stephen Mosier. Now, Stephen Mosier, for those who may not be aware, he is the president of an organization called the Population Research Institute. And he has come to be known as an expert on China and Chinese communism and population control issues. So his journey began back in 1979, when he then considered himself to be pro-abortion. You know, he was an atheist, and he went in there as a social scientist. He was invited to go to China by the Chinese government. And while he was there, he witnessed several forced abortions where women were forcibly held down and forced to undergo abortions. And some of these abortions were late-term abortions. And it had such an impact on him that he eventually became pro-life, and he converted and became a man of faith and eventually converted to Catholicism. And so now he's become an internationally recognized authority on China. And the title actually of his lecture will be The Devil in Chinese Communism, because he talks about the dangers of population control. And so I think that that's going to be something that's very compelling that people will want to know about. Our next speaker will be following Mr. Mosier is Father Patrick Schultz. And Father Schultz, he's a Catholic priest, and he also has a couple of different podcasts. And he will be focusing on Our Lady of Guadalupe, and he's going to be talking about Our Blessed Mother. So the title of his talk will be Behold Your Mother, Guadalupe and the Culture of Life. And so his talk will have a focus on the culture of life and how we as people of faith can nurture that faith, whether you're, doesn't have to be geared toward Catholics or not. I think that whether you're people of faith or not, I think that there will be something for everybody in Father Schultz's talk. And our lunchtime keynote speaker on Friday is somebody that I'm very, very excited to hear from. And your listeners may know the name Mark Houck because his name has been in the news quite a bit recently. He is the pro-life warrior and the father of seven, who he was rudely dragged out of his house a little over a year ago at gunpoint in front of his wife and seven children. And the stormtroopers in the federal government charged him with violating the FACE Act. Which is the federal act, the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, and that's the federal act that the federal government has been using quite a bit recently to go after pro-life activists to try to put them in prison. And there's a whole story behind that. But the bottom line is that, of course, he fought those charges. They tried to get him to plead down to another charge, and he said, no, I'm not guilty of anything. And praise God, he was acquitted of that. And so his story is a testament to standing up for, first of all, for your faith and saving babies. And he's a strong man, and he's really, really an impressive fellow. And the title of his talk will be Saving Babies, FBI Raids, and God's Will. So I'm sure that folks are going to want to hear from him.
So it's a two-day conference. You have Friday, you have Saturday. There's breakout sessions with these excellent speakers on both days. But let's talk about the dinner program for Friday night. Who is your keynote for the dinner program for Friday night?
Okay, sure. Well, our dinner keynote speaker on Friday night is David B. Wright. And for those folks in the pro-life movement, you may recognize David's name because he is one of the founders of the 40 Days for Life movement. And that is a movement that started quite a few years ago when pro-life people got together and they said, what can we do? And it was sort of like how pro-lifers are feeling now after issue one here in Ohio. After Roe v. Wade made abortion a quote-unquote constitutional right, there were a lot of pro-lifers that felt helpless, kind of like we feel now. And David B. Wright got together a bunch of pro-life warriors, and they decided that they were going to start this organization called 40 Days for Life. And they were the ones who started the movement of praying outside the abortion clinics, and not just praying outside the abortion clinics, but being out there to counsel these women, to offer alternatives. And so when these women came out, instead of pointing their fingers at them and saying, you're going to go to hell if you have this abortion, no, they were there to, with love and with forgiveness, say, there is another option out there. Here, let me show you, let me give you some help. And He estimates that he has, through his efforts, he has been able to help mobilize 750,000 volunteers in more than 700 cities across all 50 states. So his movement, where it started in a one state, grew to 700 cities, and it eventually spread to all 50 states. And he is credited with saving almost 15,000 babies' lives through his efforts. And he's helped to close 96 abortion facilities as well. So he is an amazing guy, very inspirational. I've heard him speak before, and he's awesome. So I'm very much looking forward to his speech on Friday night. And our Saturday evening keynote speaker is Raymond Arroyo. And Raymond Arroyo, he is internationally known. He is a journalist. He's a producer, a New York Times bestseller. He's also a Fox News contributor. So if you watch Fox News at all, you might recognize him from being on with Laura Ingraham. But his main gig, he's the founding news director and managing editor and lead anchor for EWTN News, which is Eternal Word Network. It's the largest Catholic TV network in the world. And so that has been his main job for many, many years now. But so he is known for his very important interviews. You know, he's interviewed everybody from Mother Teresa to Placido Domingo. You know, he's interviewed Donald Trump. And he did the only English interview with Pope Benedict XVI. So, you know, it's not just Catholics. He's interviewed Mel Gibson when he talked about the Passion of the Christ movie. So he's a very interesting guy, and he has also written books, and also he has a bit of a career as a singer as well. He has a Christmas album, and he goes on tour at Christmas time, and he sings. And so he's a very entertaining guy and very charming, but also hard hitting. So I'm very interested to see what his presentation is going to yield, but I'm sure it's going to be exciting and entertaining.
We're talking with Kate Macra, and she's with Cleveland Right to Life, and we're talking about the Bring America Back to Life pro-life convention. That's March 8th and 9th, right here at the Embassy Suites in Independence. And you can register at the Cleveland Right to Life website. Also, is there a secondary website directly for Bring America Back to Life, or how do folks log on to register?
Yes, Chris. So actually, we do have our own convention website, and it's bringingamericabacktolife.org. That's bringingamericabacktolife.org. And if you click on that, you'll see there are several tabs at the top, and one of the tabs is registration. And so you can just click on the registration tab there, and it will give you all the different options there for the in-person attendance. We would recommend that you do that as soon as possible, because the convention is next week. And I would also like to take the opportunity to mention that there are folks who may not be able to attend in person, and we do also offer a live stream option as well. So if people would like to hear our speakers, but maybe because of physical limitations or they're just unable to physically be at the hotel to take in the convention personally, they can register for our live stream, and they can do that also on the registration page on our website at Bringing America Back to Life. Just there's a big red button that says click here to register for our live stream. So we're trying to make this as accessible as possible to everybody.
Well, that's right. And I do see where there is an order of registration. If you wanted to hear just the speakers only on Friday and Saturday, there's a cost for that. If you wanted to add the breakfast, the lunch, and the dinner, so it's kind of a la carte that way. And so but if you wanted to register for the full convention both days, starting from the breakfast on Friday through Saturday night's dinner, how much is that?
Okay, you're going to have to make me do some quick math here. Okay, it is, well, so that we purposely made the speaker's passes very affordable, and I believe we've kept that price at $25 for years and years. And that, you know, we do that because we want people to attend. So if you just want to come, as you just mentioned, Chris, and just take in the speakers without any of the food options, you're certainly welcome to do that. It's only $25 for each day. And so that's only $25 if you would like to add breakfast, for example, that's another $25 for breakfast. So that there's 50 right there. If you would like to add lunch as well, that's 30. And if you'd like to add dinner, that's 60. So that's $150. Is that right? $140, excuse me. So yes, if you wanted to come and take advantage of the whole shebang, the speakers and every single meal from breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it would be $140. But again, the meals are not mandatory. You can mix and match however way you want. So a lot of people come, they eat breakfast at home, and then they will just purchase the lunch and dinner, and that's perfectly okay. So we just want to get folks in the door so they have an opportunity to take in the convention. So we try to make it as affordable as possible for folks.
And again, we're talking about the Bring America Back to Life Pro-Life Convention right here in the greater Cleveland area at the Embassy Suites in Independence. That's March 8th and 9th. And again, it starts on Friday morning with the breakfast and the speaker and then runs through Saturday night. So if you wanted to come and spend a 2-day, there's actually rooms at the hotel. You can get a room at the hotel and then participate in the convention for both days. Great speakers that are going to be there. We've talked about some of them, including Mark Harrington, Dr. David Prentice will be there. Bob France from WHK will be the MC for the 2-day event for the dinner program. Mark Houck was referenced, his course nationally known with the FBI raid on his home because he was basically protesting an abortion clinic, and from that he was focused on Chloe Cole, who was actually the young lady who gave the tremendous testimony at the Ohio State House supporting House Bill 68, which would ban transgender ideology in the public schools and ban surgeries and also men playing in women's sports. That bill, House Bill 68, she came in, gave a tremendous testimony. She is going to be speaking at this convention. So there's a lot of great speakers that are coming. And so you don't want to miss it. Again, Bring America Back to Life Pro-Life Convention. That's March 8th and 9th at the Embassy Suites in Independence. And again, you can register for the event. What's that website again?
It's bringingamericabacktolife.org.
Again, that's
AmericaBackToLife.org.
That's right. And so is there a phone number also people can call? In fact, I do see one here. You could call 440-529-4836. Again, that's Cleveland Right to Life. We'll help you to register over the phone if you'd like to do it that way. Again, that's 440-529-4836. There will also be vendors. There's a lot of display tables from different organizations that you could spend some time during the breaks to check some of the sponsors and the vendors that have come. And so that's a great way to engage with people as well. Again, the Bring America Back to Life Pro-Life Convention. So, Kate, this is the 15th annual. You have been executive director for a few years. Tell us, let's see, this is your third or fourth? What is this for as director?
Yes, this is my third. It's my third, yes, sir.
Well, that's great. So Molly and the whole team, of course, will be there. And I love the music that you provide during the dinner program. There's local high schools who bring in their music teams with the youth, and it's always very moving, and they're very gifted. And so you don't want to miss that as well. So there's music, there's, you know, inspiring messages, and I think of the great speakers you've had over the years. So it's always been a great event and well attended. So again, and the food is always good at the Embassy Suites as well. The staff there always do a great job. And so folks,
yes,
it's the full ticket is what, like $150 for both days. But again, if you wanted to break it down, if you have a budget right now, like a lot of people do, you can a la carte these things. You know, speakers, and maybe add the lunch or dinner if you can't make it to the breakfast, or you can only make it Friday and you can't make it Saturday. So again, it's very user-friendly that way in registration. All of that is available on the website at bringamericabacktolife.org. And again, or phone 440-529-4836. And again, if they can't pick up the line, leave your name and number and they'll get right back to you. Kate, got some final thoughts about all this?
Yes. Well, thank you, Chris. And yeah, it is an absolute blessing to be the executive director of Cleveland Right to Life. I really feel that God has called me to this position. And it really is an honor to work on this convention because it has been brought to the fore by so many wonderful people. And there's so many dedicated people that work so hard to put this together. So I really hope that folks will come and check it out. But I think that particularly after what happened in November with issue one, I think it's important for pro-life folks like us to attend an event like this so they know that they're not alone. Because I think that the other side is trying to isolate us to think that we're the ones on the fringe, we're the ones on the outside. And I think it's important for us to get together and have that sense of community. Okay, there's more of us than of them. And we just need to find our voice, and we need to get the courage to speak out. Because otherwise, you know, we're going to be in some deep trouble. And this is the first step to doing that.
Well, there was a large gathering of pro-lifers at the March for Life in Washington, D.C. that came in from all across the country. Young people poured into buses and came to the streets down Pennsylvania Avenue once again in demonstration on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade that they are pro-life America. There were 1 million Ohioans who voted opposing Issue 1, which was a radical abortion amendment in which I think a lot of Ohioans don't realize how radical it really is. We actually have the worst abortion laws in the country right here in Ohio right now, folks.
Yeah,
in
right.
fact, tantamount
that's
to what is North Korea. So, folks, getting it back is all starting with those baby steps back, and it's winning that Generation X and Z, the younger generation. It's Bring America Back to Life convention. If you can't go, give them a contribution to support their effort in education of the young people. Kate, thanks for being my guest today, and God bless you for all you do for the cause of life.
Oh, thanks, Chris, and you as well. God bless you.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is brought to you by the Ohio Christian Alliance.